anything advancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. From the Quest Center in Omaha, it's time for another edition of The Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda and even the Big Daddy, Tony Davis, has made an appearance here today at the Quest. Our engineer, Derek Stenson, back in the studio. We're going to be talking a lot of wrestling. We're going to talk about, you know, I think there's a possibility we may see a match that has more points in it than the Nebraska-Colorado basketball game last night. Again, the dumbing down and ugliness that can be basketball, but as Matt Davison said on the broadcast last night, it may have been an ugly loss at Missouri, but it was a loss. It may have been an ugly win against Colorado, but it was a win. And just want to let you know the email is still open, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Also, the phone lines are open. We're going to be giving away some tickets, we promise, to the Royal Lipizzaners. They don't call them Royal, I don't think, anymore, but the Lipizzaners are going to be in Grand Island next week. We'll give you a chance to win tickets. Let's tell you that Jensen Foss of Kearney has just won a match here, 4-3, as the state wrestling meet is underway. And, Tony, glad to see you here at the Quest Center.
Yeah, first time ever at state wrestling and enjoying the action. My friend Larry Baker has just showed me how to read the program, and after 2.5 hours, I figured it out, so I can kind of follow along on who's out on the mats. But it's an exciting event to be a part of and to see for the first time.
Well, you take a look at what's going on here, and classes A and D are battling. Grand Island off to a good start. I think Amherst is off to a good start. They went 9-1 this morning here at the Quest Center in the first round, and they're done until the quarterfinals. And again, just a quick explanation to the folks that don't understand wrestling or are just a casual fan. They want to know if the kids from their towns are winning or losing and if they've got a chance to be in the Parade of Champions. If you win in this first round, you're going to come right back and wrestle again starting at noon with 103-pounders, and that'll take a couple of hours in the quarterfinals. If you can go 2-0 today, you are guaranteed a medal. They medal the top six in each weight class. There are 16 wrestlers in each weight class. So if you make it in, you're going to get at least a medal and wrestle in the semifinals tomorrow night, which you'll hear live on our sister station, Power 99 FM. Now, classes B and C have picked up a 4:30 start here today. So a 4:30 start for classes B and C. If you haven't seen any of those, I'm just saying
they don't even start. Yeah. I mean, they took the morning off.
A lot of people go, well, how come we're not hearing any Kearney Catholic results or Hastings High results? Well, because they're not even going to start till 4:30, and their quarterfinals are at 8. Then Friday, the whole morning and whole afternoon is made up with kids trying to wrestle back that got beat today and get in for a medal. Then tomorrow night, the semifinals. Saturday morning, they wrestle off for 3rd through 6th, and then the Parade of Champions. The highlight, I say it's the greatest moment of the high school sports year, moment. And again, you have to emphasize moment. There are some great things that go on in high school sports, but that 2 minutes of the Parade of Champions on Saturday is the best moment of the year, I believe. And maybe the folks out there either agree or disagree. You can fire off those emails to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com.
We visited about Michael Schaaf, the freshman. He will be wrestling here within about the next 15, 20 minutes. So we will be able to basically bring that match to you live in the heavyweight division of Class D. He is a young man from Sutton that is undefeated as a freshman. Nobody remembers a freshman being undefeated and winning a state title.
At heavyweight. Well, Tony, you take a look around, and there's positive, there's negative with every venue. But as usual, it's Thursday morning. morning. It's not a huge crowd. It's a good crowd, but it's not like the bottom bowl here at the Quest Center is full. I would classify it as somewhere between, I would say, 65%. 60%.
That's 60%. Weird because I was going to say two-thirds.
Well, there you go. It'd be right in there. And then you got a few fans scattered in the upper bowl and, of course, all the wrestlers on the floor. But there's two reasons. Thursday morning usually doesn't draw because you have to take the day off work and all that. And if Class A, that is the class that has the fewest amount of fans. Even though Kearney is here in full force, Class A usually draws the fewest amount of fans on the early sessions.
And we'd like to thank nobody in Amherst for listening because they're all here today as well, too. That's the first thing you notice is the Amherst fans and the Kearney fans. I think if you said, boy, who are they? Oh, that's Kearney. And then you hear another roar, that's Amherst. That's really the only two people that have separated themselves, I think, as far as the cheering sections go so far.
Well, and that's one thing that you look at here at State Wrestling as well, is you see the colors and you see the singlets and you see the fans dressed up, and you can kind of tell. You've got your group of orange, there's Howells. You've got your group of red, there's Winside at Amherst. You've got your yellow, there's Kearney, and whatever other weird tie-dye shirts that the schools may put on. But you can tell, and it's become a tradition. There are wrestling schools, and then there are schools that don't care about wrestling or are not a big power, not a big power in wrestling and just don't have a lot of following. But that's what you've got here with the state wrestling meet going on at the Quest Center in Omaha.
I'm yet to figure out when Howells wrestles Maxwell. It confuses me really, really bad. I still don't know the difference.
Well, and again, you are a perfect case for someone that just hasn't watched wrestling. Wait till the kids start changing their singlets. What they wear here is not what they're going to wear in the semifinals, is not what they're going to wear in the finals. And most of the time, you take a school like Winside, who had the pinstripes for years and years and years, they'll pick around and wear those. And then you look at these consolidated schools, Sergeant Burwell, Greeley, Wallback, Cedar Rapids. Well, they still have their singlets, and they'll wear them at different times throughout the tournament. And usually each group has a couple of singlets no matter what the case is anyway.
Interesting. I had no idea that was the case. You know, Doug, I think the excitement, and I've had four people since we've got here. If you've never been here, and people say, Tony, if you've never been here, tomorrow night is just the craziest. The semifinals, that is the round in which the place is near full. It used to be that Avani Center was sold out for that round and has been sold out before. The Quest Center has never been sold out, although weather did play a major role in that. Probably 1 year, but an opportunity for a near sellout here tomorrow night. But, Doug, by far, that is the most excitement, you say?
Well, Friday night's round is widely viewed as the best round of all the rounds here because that's where the intensity is. As they say, there's two things going on. You're wrestling the semifinals with the dream for most of these kids that have never been in the Parade of Champions. You have the rare few, like a Michael Klingensmith comes to mind from Kearney, that's going for his third straight state final. But most of those kids are looking for their first trip to the state final while they're down there. And then on the outside mats, you've got the consolation round, and those are to get a medal. If you win, you're getting a medal. If you don't, you've wrestled all day for nothing. I mean, you're not going to get any medal on Saturday.
You bring up Michael Klingensmith, Doug. You go through the program, they've got last year's champion. Folks, you think Gary Busey took a bad photo? You think Gary Busey? Look at that, boy. What? You think Gary Busey's mugshot was bad? Michael Klingensmith's got to win.
Nick Nolte?
The Nick Nolte deal, yeah, because that's not, you know, he's got to get that picture out of there and put a new one in.
Well, here's the deal about the pictures you see in the program. Those pictures are taken before the finals. And so those kids are nervous. They don't want to. They want to look tough because they still got a match to go. They don't want to, you know, act like maybe, hey, I'm going to win. I've got a chance. They're not thinking about where that picture is going to be because those are taken before the Parade of Champions on Saturday when there's only one thing that's in your mind.
I've also learned what a Metro timeout is. People say, well, there's a Metro timeout. He's not really hurt. He's just buying a little time because he's getting a little winded. And it happens in Class A, usually Metro teams. So I appreciate the explanation because I don't know what blood timeouts and all the things that are going on. But I do like the one official that doesn't hit the mat when it's a pin. He just blows his whistle, and I guess he says, fall. That's it.
Everybody has their own style, and you know what? We haven't heard a lot of roars here so far today, although we have had some district champions already be beat. One of those was an SEM kid, John Frericks, coming through and defeating a district champion. So that's some of the wrestling that's going on. Updates throughout the weekend here on ESPN, 1230 KHAS, and also on Power 99 FM. So stay with us for that. Jack Wardine of Palmer has picked up a win. Kyle Dimmern of Heartland Lutheran has picked up a win. Heartland Lutheran, they just got their wrestling program started, and we believe these are the first wins for their program that have happened today. Both their wrestlers picking up wins here in the opening round.
You know, something you kind of take for granted. You know, you get champions and you get teams like an Amherst that's had so many, a Howells that's had so many. You know, you go back, and I had to call a buddy of mine 20 years ago. Patrick Berry from Bertrand won his second state champion. He was in the state finals three times. He probably would have been there four times, except he made a decision to go out for basketball when he was a freshman. We're not sure what Patrick was thinking about. But you go back, and I said, well, gosh, how many state champions has Bertrand had? And you go back, I mean, it's not a long list. I mean, you go to individual schools, the lists aren't all that long for a lot of these schools, and, you know, you get people picking up their first one wins today, let alone, you know, state finals appearances and medals.
Looks like we've also just had a win for a Franklin wrestler down here on mat number 7, and I believe that would have to be Derek Fouts. I believe Cale Schmidt and Derek Fouts both getting ready to wrestle, but another win down there for Franklin, so congratulations. And again, we'll update you those as they come along. But it's always a flurry of activity, 8 mats going on at once, trying to watch all the kids. And you've got a kid in every weight class from Kearney and Grand Island going right now. 10 kids here from Amherst, and then 6-5-4 from a lot of the other area schools here at the state wrestling meet. But I guess, Tony, what else so far have you learned today?
Basically, I'm just so impressed that we're almost through the – I didn't realize that these kids will turn right around. Some of these kids will be done, bounced out of this meet before other kids even begin the meet. That's something that I had no idea about.
Well, no. They'll come back tomorrow.
Oh, if you lost today, you're done for the day. You go take
tomorrow.
A break.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I'm learning as we speak here. So they come back and they wrestle again. Those kids are medalists automatically. The other kids then come back tomorrow in the loser's bracket and try and battle their way back. Now, obviously, they can still only get third, but they can't. Obviously, you got to win 4 in a row.
Well, and the story there is that is how Kearney always seems to be in the team race, is what they do with the kids that are beaten on day one and the way they come back on day two, even if you lose in the semifinals, because there are so many times, Tony, that's why the semifinals seem to be so, so rough, is because, A, you're trying to get in the Parade of Champions, and, B, if you get beat and your dream was to get in the Parade of Champions, there's a lot of kids that cash it in. They have to come back the next morning and wrestle twice, no matter what. You have to wrestle at 8:30 in the morning on Saturday. And if you win, then you wrestle for third and fourth. And if you lose, you wrestle for fifth and sixth. And that's how some of the kids that lose today, they kind of get on a roll. They meet a kid that was devastated in the semifinals, and they just keep going, 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 and get into that third and fourth place match and continue to pick up team points. So a lot going on here at the state wrestling meet. We will keep you up to date. But when we come back, there's other sports to talk about. So we'll talk about those, take a break, and be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show from the Quest Center in Omaha.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
I can't believe they're still on the air.
Well, it's certainly not the first time we've heard that.
This is a special SportsCenter update from the Nebraska State Wrestling Tournament. We'll join ESPN Superstation Sports Director Doug Duda in just a moment. Brought to you by
Sorensen Construction wishes all the area wrestlers the very best at the State High School Wrestling Championships. Let Sorensen Construction build for you. We are a proud sponsor of all the area wrestlers. Pin 'em, guys.
Years of specialized training means that your doctor of chiropractic can provide health care that focuses on total body wellness. Klingensmith Family Chiropractic in Kearney, wishing the area wrestlers best of luck.
State Wrestling Update here during the Tug and Daddy Show. Let's give you a quick rundown of what's been going on, and it's a good start for Grand Island and pretty decent for Kearney as well, who have qualified their whole team. Grand Island won their first 6 matches. Riley Allen was also a winner. Alex Sheldon and Billy Leach were defeated. For Kearney, They won their first four matches with Bauer, Stansberry, Reese, and Crocker. Also, New Year and Ripley were winners, while Smith, Gable, and Dribble have been defeated. Good first round for the Class D wrestlers from Amherst. They went 9-1. Their only loss suffered by Logan Luffelholtz in overtime. Logan, who came in as the number two seed out of his district, was able to advance on to the consolation round, while all the rest of the Amherst wrestlers were winners here today. For Elm Creek, they went 4-1 in the first round. The only casualty, Derek Stabenow. Elwood going 4-2 in the first round. Franklin has wins from Jordan and Logan James in the first round. Also, Sutton got a couple of wins from Derek Bailey and Evan Carlson. Both Harvard Clay Center winners, wrestlers were winners today. SEM's John Frericks advances on. Also, Jacob Schwann of Heartland Lutheran, William Glendy of Callaway winners. Also, Axtell's Brett Roberts were a winner. The quarterfinals in A and D start at noon. B and C will begin their wrestling this afternoon at 4:30. And we'll keep you up to date here on ESPN.
Listen for state wrestling tournament updates all the way through the state championships right here on ESPN Superstation. And remember, you can hear nightly wrap-ups shortly after 6 o'clock each evening on our sister station, 98.9 FM, Power 99.
Kick off Mardi Gras right this year with the acoustic and alternative sounds of Rally for One at Fanatics in Kearney. If you think about it, it makes sense. Fanatics has great drink specials, including a smoke-free atmosphere and one of the best upcoming bands out of California. That means there's no other place to be than Fanatics this Saturday night. So mark it down on your calendar to see Rally for One this Saturday night at Fanatics in Kearney. This Saturday, Storm Hockey and the Nebraska Lottery present Pack It in Purple. The first 600 fans, 19 and up, who wear purple to the game will get a free Nebraska Lottery ticket. Plus, it's the United Way jersey auction. The Storm will be wearing one-of-a-kind jerseys to be auctioned off to the fans after the game. Free lottery tickets, new jerseys, Storm versus Omaha. For tickets, call 308-338-8011. Storm Hockey, presented by The Arrow.
Home, a place where you can truly be yourself, feel comfortable, and share with loved ones. Isn't it time you come home? Home Real Estate is here to help you find your dream home. Whether you're looking for commercial or residential, Home Real Estate is ready to spend the time with you to find the perfect match. Finding you the right home at the right price is our top priority. Get a free market analysis. Second in Burlington and downtown Hastings. Call 402-461-6930 or see us online, homehastings.com. Relax, you're at home. Home Real Estate.
Source Gas Ag customers, sign up now with Source Gas Energy Services. We offer CIG, Panhandle, and NYMEX pricing with triggers to lock in your rate at a later date. Other suppliers may not tell you the whole story, but at SGES, we believe the more information you have, the better decision you can make. Call Source Gas Energy Services today to find the best price option for your operation. At 1-800-413-1966.
The most recommended by far, Eustace Body Shop. That's who we are. Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. When you need a tow, we're the ones to know. The most recommended Eustace Body Shop. That's who we are.
And welcome back, everyone, as we continue to bring you action from the state wrestling meet here in Omaha. The Doug and Daddy Show continues, and Daddy, a lot going on with wrestling, but one of the guys that we were looking forward to watching wrestle is Big Michael Shaw from Sutton, and he is just got on the mat and already has kind of thrown his kid around.
Well, he's thrown him around a little bit. They were out of bounds. No points were awarded. He must have bumped heads. He's got a bloody nose, looking to come back on the mat right now. So 1:22 in the first period, still to be wrestled here. No score in that match.
Right now, Tony, we're actually all ready for some of these weight classes starting the quarterfinals, which is extremely early. We're going to have a big break this afternoon between, this is one of the things I've talked about, when A and D go first, there's too much of a break between when this wrestling stops and the evening session begins, because we're going to be done way, or we should be done way before 2, and the next session doesn't start till 4:30, and I realize that some of the workers have to go eat, but who needs more than 40 minutes to go do that? Either start it later in the morning to help out the crowd to get here, or get it over earlier in the evening, and I'd be more in favor of starting it later in the morning.
You know, Doug, yeah, 3.5 hours to eat, that's only if it's the buffet, and it's a very excellent buffet for me.
We've got some big matches going on right now for Amherst in the quarterfinals, as Tanner Tobenheim and Justin Tobenheim can really help out their chances for a state title with wins. And Tanner Tobenheim has just won by a pin, and Justin Tobenheim is taking on a kid that beat him last year, upset him in the state tournament, and now he had him in a pin combination on his back, but has been reversed here to start the second period. He's up by a score of 5-2 in this match, and this could be a key one here as he's taking on Brester, I believe it is, from Neely Oakdale.
Michael Schaff has been injured, and he's getting attention on the mat right now. I think it's still just the bloody nose, but they have stopped action here in the first period. He did manage to get a takedown. That match now 2-0. You know, another thing, Doug, and you mentioned the team race and how Amherst is so into that. I didn't realize early on all these matches are so important because they think it's going to be such a tight race. I didn't realize people paid that much attention, but the team battles mean a lot to these individual squads. And obviously, with a state title on the line, each one of these individual matches is important. But in an individual sport, I didn't realize it was that important to them. I mean, you know, I thought you'd cheer for your kids, but they're really interested in that team goal.
Well, exactly. That's what makes good teams. Good kids, and good kids in turn make good teams. Well, Tony, as we take a look at what's been going on today, a tough night for the Hastings College basketball teams last night, going to Doan and both losing right at the end, the women by 1 and the men by 3.
Yeah, that's heartbreaker. And, you know, we talked to Coach Creech and him telling us, hey, you know, we just get to play these games one at a time, but they're all on the road, and they're all with teams that don't really like you. They're all rival games, and to lose them like that, certainly a little deflating down the stretch here.
Well, it was a game that they were hoping they could win, thought they could win, and it really hurts the women falling in that one.
Doug, they were 17th in the nation, and yeah, you look ahead towards those NAIA, down. This is when they always have gotten on a roll in the past, and hopefully they'll still be able to get on a little bit of a roll and make a run here at the end. But once again, you losing 1-point losses, that's got to do something to your psyche down the stretch. You used to win those games and build on something towards the end of the year. This year, it's going the other way for them.
Nebraska men's basketball team, we've got to talk about that, Tony. What was that?
I don't know what it was, but
Nebraska had so many chances to get out, pull away. It's 9-1, and Colorado has like 1 point for the first 6 minutes of the game, and yet they just keep hanging around. Nebraska never could put them away. They always had the lead in that game and could never put them away.
6-5 conference record right now, and I think that's what you got to look at. You got to get the bad taste of your mouth. You won the game. You look ahead towards Kansas. Kansas is a team that if you made some free throws, you win the first game in Lincoln against Kansas. I think you get that confidence level that you can play with Kansas, but to do it at Fog Allen is probably a different animal. And, that looks to be an uphill battle, but I think you might have gained a little bit of confidence knowing that it wasn't 80-10 or whatever it was a year ago, and that you can go down there and at least compete and give yourself an opportunity down the stretch to win there.
You know, we were worried about the Nebraska men maybe being able to handle things and the wherewithal and the stamina and all that. Well, the Nebraska women, I think, are the problem right now. They're running out of gas. They lose 61-38 last night at Iowa State.
Doug, didn't you get the feeling, though, in talking to Connie Ori early in the year that she was she knew without Kelsey Griffin it was an uphill battle they were facing, and it could be a long season. But to lose like that, that's starting to become very surprising.
Well, it seemed like in some games they were very competitive, and they're with six teams ranked in the Big 12 and 7 and 8 out there with a chance to do things, then you're in very good shape to win a few of those games. And Nebraska simply is not winning those games right now.
Not close, though. I mean, you're not even competitive. And, you got to have some people, and Dominic Kelly was one of those that proved a little bit lately that she's stepped up and put in more of a scoring role. But at the same time, with 38 points.
Well, and that isn't just all that's been going on with that. And just one more side note, because I'm sure the listeners aren't all hip on the women's basketball, but Nebraska did beat Texas Tech. Texas Tech gave Oklahoma all they wanted in their last game. So they have the ability to do that. Michael Schaaf has won his match here in his quest to become an undefeated freshman heavyweight. He has won his first match here at the state tournament. And also, we've got quite the match going on down here between Amherst and Tobenheim. And I think he's the winner by a score of 5-4. So a huge win there. Both the Tobenheim boys are on to the semifinals for Amherst.
Well, you're starting to see a little bit more emotion. That was one thing I was maybe disappointed in. I thought when you won at state, kids would get pretty excited. The first round, just pretty okay. We'll shake hands and give your coach a little high five. He whacks you on the butt, and that was about it. Now you're starting to see a little bit of intensity pick up, as I think the more competitive, obviously, as you draw that bracket down a little bit.
Well, a lot of things going on in the world of sports. UNK wrestling team was an easy winner last night out at Shadron. But getting back to, I just wanted to make one comment before we leave the Nebraska basketball talk. Am I the only one, because you've been bashing me on this, I think Nebraska has a chance Saturday. I think of all these games that everybody's talking about, I fully expected Nebraska to lose one of these home games, because they always do. I think this is a chance for Nebraska to go to Kansas and be very, very competitive and have a chance in the end to win this ball game.
You got to remember, too, with the Colorado win last night, and I don't know why it feels like a loss this morning. If you told us before the season that Nebraska was going to be 6-5 in the Big 12, everybody would have passed out, and you'd have won a lot of money, because that was no way that would happen. But you look at this is a team that took Oklahoma to 2 points, on the road. They have lost 27 consecutive after last night, which is a tribute to them and their team. Congratulations on that. But they did take Oklahoma on the road at Oklahoma by 2 points, and I believe 5 at Kansas. So they play. That's been in the last 3 weeks. So it's like they've been competitive, and you knew that coming in that they're just one of those teams that they're the pest. They hang around and they give you fits. Nebraska, you're right, not able to pull away, but it's still a win, and you got to get over that and look ahead.
And Tony, have they disbanded the basketball program at Penn State yet?
38-33. What the hell?
Guys, I chime in here. We have a email in the Den Popper inbox from Ken. He says, "Hey, Heckle and Jekyll, did you see the Penn State-Illinois men's basketball game last night? Penn State 38, Illinois 33. Can it get any worse?" Then he goes on to say, "I also want to put a plug in for the National Yo-Yo Tournament that will be broadcast on ESPN either tonight or tomorrow night. Is yo-yo a sport? I bet if you check the Ord archives, you might find Doug Duda's name in the Revered Yo-Yo Champions column." So that from Ken. Thanks, Ken.
He's about ready to get blocked. Ken is about ready to get blocked. I have been referred to as a top yo-yo, so I don't know if I could do very well in the yo-yo championships coming up this weekend, but I'm sure I could find somewhere to get in. Hey, Tony.
How many years has it been since D. Brown and that Illinois team were looking at the 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
I was trying to think of that this morning driving down. 4 or 5 years, this is a team at the national championship level. And 4 or 5 years later, they're scoring 38 points? 33 points. 33 points, and Penn State beat you 38-3. How's that happen?
We're going to take a break. Stu Pospisil, Larry Baker, they're going to join us here in just a moment with some action from what's going on wrestling and talk about what else is going on, because there's plenty of girls sub-district action going on tonight. Mason Araujo of Elwood has just been defeated as we're at state wrestling. But all the girls sub-district finals in C and D are going on tonight. There's still some pretty interesting boys basketball games going on this weekend as well. But let's give away some tickets to the Olympus Honors as we take a break here. 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. We're going to give away a pair, that's two, one and two, a pair of tickets to the Olympus Honors next Thursday at the Heartland Events Center going on in Grand Island. For the first person to answer the following trivia question, Tony.
Well, since we're state wrestling, we're going to give you a state basketball trivia question.
Yeah.
No, we're not. We're going to give you a wrestling question. Who holds the career takedown records for most career takedown in Class D?
Oh, my goodness. Now, have we got any clues?
They perhaps maybe
in this building right now?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's what we'll go with.
Perhaps coaching in this building right now.
He has the career takedown record in Class D wrestling in the state of Nebraska, and he's at the Quest Center right now. 1-888-455-ESPN. We're back. Stu Pospisil is going to join Daddy right after this.
And now here's another insightful comment from a Doug and Daddy listener.
Sellouts, that's what they are, the dirty sellouts for the almighty dollar.
And that's why you so seldom hear listener comment solicitations on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Today, just about every ad you hear will mention saving you money, yet very few of them offer a really good deal. Well, Sprint's about to change that. Business customers can buy one Motorola i576 for $69.99 and get up to four free. All with Nextel Direct Connect, the fastest national push-to-talk network. Call 1-800-NEXTEL-9, only on the Now Network. Fastest based on initial call setup time. Not available on all channels. See Sprint stores for availability. Ends 4/18/09. Subject to 2-year agreement, up to $36 activation, $200 early termination fees. Credit approval and deposit per line. Restrictions apply.
Hotels.com gives you a free night for every 10 nights you book. We're basically rewarding business travelers for doing what they already do. It's like giving you a blue ribbon for wearing a tie, a gold medal for shaving, and a lifetime achievement award for putting on pants. So, stay 10 nights in one hotel or one night in 10 different hotels. Any combination, and get a free night. Welcome rewards from Hotels.com. The smarter way to book. Join online or call 1-800-2-HOTELS.
Some exclusions and restrictions apply. See site for details.
This weather update is brought to you by Rich Peters and Matt Myers from Farm Bureau Insurance, located on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Got the down? Then you get the deal. And thanks to you, that's just exactly how it's worked for 28 years at Kearney Auto Sales. One year at a time, one day at a time, one deal at a time, and one customer at a time. At Kearney Auto Sales, your small down payment will put you behind the wheel of your next car or truck. At Kearney Auto Sales, we say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Got the down? Then come get your deal at Kearney Auto Sales on East Highway 30. Buy here, pay here. Need health coverage? Now you can get the best of both. Personal service from your local Farm Bureau agent and a health plan from a company you know and trust. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Call today and find out about the great rates and great coverage available through your Farm Bureau agent. Among the many benefits, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska members enjoy fast and accurate processing of their claims. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers are proud to serve the Kearney area. Call them today at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 to learn more about affordable health plans for you, your family, or your business. Farm Bureau agents are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. An independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
Mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies will develop across the area today, with high temperatures up in the lower 40s. Winds out of the northwest will also become gusty at times. For tonight, we'll see increasing cloud cover, lows near 22 with a west wind of 5 to 10, on the way to 44 for high Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 32.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, down, down.
Now we're back, Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Darren from Amherst knew that Tyler Herman had the most career takedowns. in Class D, 526 of them. You know, Chris Hayes, a class in Amherst wrestler, had 239. That was for the season, but Tyler Herman had them for his career. So congratulations, Darren. Enjoy that show at the Heartland Event Center. And we're back at State Wrestling. The second round continues here. We're joined by Stu Pospisil. Stu, we can go a variety of issues here. You got a chance to see the Husker basketball game last night. Am I kind of right on? It was a win. We should get the bad taste out of our mouth and look ahead towards Kansas.
A W is a W from Doc Sadler's standpoint. But, you know, I thought I was watching Shadron and GICC all over again from Saturday night. But that's how Nebraska has to win. And Colorado's kind of that same scrappy. They're even more that Princeton type offense. And they're going to, you know, you talked about Colorado being a pest. Nebraska's a pest, too.
Yeah.
And they very well could go into Kansas and maybe not win, but, you know, kind of give Kansas a game kind of like what Colorado did down in Allen Fieldhouse a couple weeks ago, and it was 5 points.
6-5 in the Big 12, Stu. You're tied with Texas and Kansas State, which, okay, if you would have said you're tied with Texas, wow, that's some Kansas State, I think, without Beasley, probably didn't see that coming for a lot of people. But 6-5, certainly remarkable for what the size. We match up athletically, I think, but we're so undersized that they don't match up very well with anybody.
But you have to remember on the other side that teams have trouble matching up with Nebraska as well. You know, look at Texas the other day down in Lincoln. They couldn't ever put Matt Hill in the game because he doesn't match up with what Nebraska has on the floor. You know, I won't identify the team, but I've heard parents here in Omaha complain about how, you know, there's a very good team that the coach worries so much about short, quick lineups that he's going against. Well, you know, the other side has to worry about how to defend this team.
We can put Matt Hill in there, but we're going to go right around him.
Right.
The quickness issue becomes.
Sure.
But 6-5. Does this team have a chance in your mind? Me and Doug have had this debate, and Doug says no chance, absolutely zero chance of advancing to the tournament.
I think that if Nebraska takes care of business at home, and I think they have, what, two home games left? Well, then they're at 8-8, worst-case scenario. I think they have to get to the conference semifinals. I think they have to win a game.
You think 8-8 and they advance to the semifinals have a realistic chance
to get
them in?
I think they got. And how, if 8-8 is sitting fourth, I think it's a better chance than obviously if they're sitting fifth. But, you know, you have to look at who they've played, and, you know, they may have a better chance than Creighton if Creighton would happen to get upset.
Well, Creighton's got a huge game right here in this facility Saturday night, which they've. I think 3-2 in bracket buster games, if I'm not mistaken. They kind of played themselves into a couple tournaments with this game Saturday night.
They do, and you know I forget the guy's name that was doing the ESPN color commentary last night, a former coach who I think was like at North Florida. How's he getting an ESPN job? I don't know. But you know, he was saying that to him, Creighton George Mason was maybe the most intriguing of the bracket busters, which I'm not sure what that says about bracket busters. If Creighton and George Mason, you hope that the Omaha community is kind of amped up to after this on state wrestling on Saturday to filter in at 8:30 at night. Of course, there are adult beverages sold here at 8:30 at night, so. Not before. This is a very alcohol-free setting here for 3 days.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show, live from the Quest Center in State Wrestling. Stu, we've talked all year long about how down overall basketball is. You follow wrestling, although not, I guess, zoned in like you are on the basketball. But in covering wrestling, is wrestling down, up? Where do you see wrestling in the state of Nebraska today?
Well, I think my theory has always been that with each succeeding generation of wrestling, we get better. We're still behind Iowa, you know, that's clear. But with each succeeding generation, you get better wrestling, and you should get better crowds because you got more people that have been exposed to the sport
involved with it.
What I don't like about wrestling is that we don't get a. I remember maybe one of the biggest thrills I've ever seen was the night that Jeremy actually took out Trevor Weatherfield from Bennington in back in 1987. And Larry's shaking his head, yes. That was a wrestling moment that the diehards will never forget. Back in Devaney, the place erupted when Eckley, I think he won 4-3. And it was a tremendous, and this was a semi. This wasn't even a final. This was a semifinal that people will in the sport will remember as long as they live. I don't see that drama now. Kids and coaches, they figure out where the returning champions are, and they steer themselves away, and that's what happens when you have 5-pound weight increments. That, okay, 140-pounder, you know, or 145, let's say you've got Maestrick from Howells. Not many guys are willing to take him on, so they go down to 140 or up to 152. You know, I want to see compelling matches rather than coronations. And I think a lot of what we write about are guys that take care of what competition's left in their bracket, and it's a coronation.
Well, one thing I think that would certainly help that is we eliminate one of the classes.
Yes.
And that would pare down some of the talent, hodgepodge of talent together.
I mean, throw Scud in with Class A, and it strengthens Class A. And you just would, you know, let's say you have 40 or 48 in Class A, another 48 or 64 in B, and then everybody else. And that makes a much stronger tournament.
Well, I think we're seeing it today. Have you heard of anybody that's been undefeated as a freshman heavyweight, Michael Schaaf, like he's doing at Sutton? Has there ever been one?
You know, the heavyweight that comes to mind is Mitch Manstead. Now, he wasn't undefeated, and he didn't get that first one, but he was a freshman that was state caliber, and it's so rare.
So rare it is, and I think that's Amherst going. I think we've got a lot of action going on down here. Looks like we have Larry Baker sitting over there, but you know, this is one of those things, you get people that this is their basketball for me. It's
sure.
They just go crazy, and you see, you know, these kids are advancing in Amherst. So many kids, 9-1, I believe, in the first round.
That's a great round for Amherst. I mean, that's going to keep them on par with Howells. And, you know, the team competition, so often by Friday night, you know, the suspense is over. You know, you seldom see a 171-pound match on Saturday mean anything for the team titles.
Yeah, Amherst is just defeated there on Larry. Who is that?
Barry
has just won for Amherst, and he will advance to the medal round. He is 2-0 on the day, and his day will end. That's going to be a good feeling. You're 2-0 down here. Take the rest of the day off.
Yeah, it's not even lunchtime yet, and you're done until 6 o'clock tomorrow night. You got to watch what you eat, though, especially these lower weights. You know, I mean, you know, somebody like Ron Coleman from Omaha North, who we pictured this morning with a huge burger in his hands. You know, he's 240 wrestling at 285. He just has to avoid being sluggish.
He's a beast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you saw him play against Kearney in football. You know, a different animal. You know, you just say, oh, he's different than the rest.
Yeah, he's been a man-child for a couple years and a good kid. And, you know, the future's so bright for him with another year left. And, you know, he could be a Division I wrestler, but, you know, all indications are he'll go football.
Team title-wise, have you had a chance? Do you have them broke down on who you think's going to win?
Well, I think Grand Island certainly is the favorite in A. In B, Omaha Scut. All, you know, they're going to have to wrestle. And in those open weight classes, if say, an Auburn or somebody, Boys Town can push them through. Boys Town's got their strength at the end of the lineup, and they have Erskine Williams, I think, at 125, who's a very talented athlete. You know, if somebody can get four or five champions in, Scut could go down, but, you know, that's another challenge for Scut. They rise to the occasion. You know, you take a look. I charted the other night. You know, two of their first four titles were nail-biters that went into Saturday afternoon. Since then, they have just
200,
rolled.
200 and how many points they've put up?
Last year they won by 155
yeah,
points.
You
know, I mean, they're putting up 200 points a year. I don't think they're quite at that level this year because of the open weights that they do have, only qualifying 10.
Yeah, it's something a lot of people think, though. The 7 out of those 10 may have a chance to win state or, you know,
right,
take home the gold medal. So that's something to look at. Stu, we'll let you get on the rest of your day. I know we need to take a break here. Thanks so much for the time, as always, and enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Hey, it's good to see you in Omaha.
Well, Doug says that the Parade of Champions is the greatest moment in Nebraska high school sports. Agree or disagree?
Agree. I mean, it is. You get goosebumps. The hair stands up on the back of your neck, and it's just a special minute and a half to watch these kids. This is what they have dreamed of since they've been in little kids wrestling, since they've seen the sport either on TV on Saturday afternoon or, you know, at Devaney or Quest now. And it is. It's something the NCAA does very well in a otherwise vanilla atmosphere for all their championship sports. This is one shining moment, to use a CBS term.
There you go. Stu Potts with the Omaha World Herald joins. Derek, we're going to take a quick break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Be back. Get Larry Baker's thoughts. I know he's fired up. Very involved in this wrestling. We'll be back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
And now, here's another in our series of things that happened during the Doug and Daddy Show commercial breaks that you can be glad you didn't hear.
Well, stop licking yourself. That's disgusting.
Makes you look forward to the breaks, doesn't it?
In order to test his will, Fred likes to subject himself to extreme conditions. Today, he's swimming with the Polar Bear Club during a blizzard.
Yeehaw!
At Train, we believe in extreme testing, too. We expose them to desert-like heat, Arctic-like cold, and a gauntlet of abuses. So you can be confident you're investing in the most durable, reliable system available.
Get your extreme-tested Train from the folks that continually pass the test with our customers. Tested, tried, and true. That's why you want to call Fidelki Heating and Air.
It's hard to stop a Train.
Remember when life was simple? Well, sure, times have changed. So you try to make your life easier. What's unexpected is you'll get that help from a bank. At Platte Valley State Bank, we understand our customers' lives. That's why we offer simple checking products, online banking with bill pay, extended hours, and phone banking, just to name a few. We know the more complicated life becomes, the more you'll appreciate banking with us. At Platte Valley State Bank, we are your financial center. Member FDIC.
Welcome to Subway. What can I get you?
Hi, I was thinking about maybe a...
Any.
$5
filet. Who are you guys? Some kind of music video? Seriously, what's the deal?
Get any piled high regular footlong for just $5, like the Italian BMT and chicken and bacon ranch. Any regular footlong, $5. Don't miss it. Subway, eat fresh.
Offer excludes double stack and premium sandwiches. Prices and participation may vary.
Craftsman takes you inside the NASCAR garage.
Here's what needs to get done. So, roll that Craftsman toolbox over, boys. We've got an engine to install. Need to connect starter wires, attach clutch line, put in drive shaft, check oil and water temp, install exhaust, and put on shocks.
Check. What else you got?
For every item on a NASCAR mechanics checklist, there's a Craftsman tool to get the job done right. Maybe that's why the tools America trusts most are also the tools NASCAR trusts most. Behind every champion, there's a Craftsman, the official tools of NASCAR.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you drove down 25th Street in Kearney 20 years ago, you'd see a lot of things you wouldn't even recognize, except for that one place on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Well, even back then, when you were in need of a quality used car or truck, you knew you could always count on Molly's. Today, you can count on a great deal on this 2003 V6 automatic Chevy Silverado for only $59.95. Yes, sir, Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. Good to know.
Mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies will develop across the area today with high temperatures up in the lower 40s. Winds out of the northwest will also become gusty at times. For tonight, we'll see increasing cloud cover, lows near 22 with a west wind of 5 to 10, on the way to 44 for High Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 32.
We're back live at State Wrestling from the Quest Center here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Taking in the action, we're joined right now by Larry Baker, former Loup City coach, and now a spectator. One time, you can just kind of enjoy it and relax. And Larry, you've been taking in the action. I don't know how you follow 8 matches at once, but Nobody knows how I watch 10 NFL games and never miss a play on a Sunday either. But your thoughts overall, big upsets today?
No, not actually, state tournament's always pretty crazy. And it really kind of gets started normally in the quarterfinals and some of that crazy stuff starts happening. But so far, I haven't seen a lot, one or two, type so-so deals. But, no, I haven't seen any major collisions that anybody's had so far. One of the things you're starting to see in the team race, though, is you're starting to see Grand Island and, like, Creighton Prep and Grand Island Millard South starting to hook up. Amherst and Howells just had a battle down here. So, you know, you're kind of starting to see some of those things shape up, but so far it's been business as usual.
Well, as good as the first round went for Amherst at 9-1, their one loss coming in overtime, they have lost a couple here late. And the one you mentioned against Howells, obviously that looks to be the team race coming down to those two teams. You throw anybody else in that team race?
Oh, East Butler. And there are, you know, Class D this year is an interesting class where it's kind of spread out. I mean, you could have somebody sneak in. Right now, the way Amherst looks to me, Amherst and Howells look to be the class of the class as far as that goes. Amherst is really wrestling well. Both Taub and Himes win to get in. They also get Barry. A win with Lane Barry. Great match to get in. And Devin Shockey pushed Tyler Dostal from Howells right to the bitter end, loses there at the end. And
Jordan
then
Shields just was defeated.
Yeah, he was just defeated by the Eklund kid out of Friend who pushed him very, very hard. Amherst looks tough right now. And as does Howells. Howells hasn't lost any that they shouldn't lose, or, you know, they've won everything they're supposed to win to this point. But Amherst looks good.
You mentioned the Class A. It looks like Grand Island seems to be everybody's kind of their favorite. But they start butting heads with some of those heavyweights. And the second round, obviously, very critical and very early on here in the morning action.
Right. I believe that Grand Island is probably the best team. But Millard South is going to score a lot of points. And they very well may be tough to beat. Grand Island's going to have to, you know, one of the things that they're going to have to rely on is young kids and having some of their young kids win in big matches like this down state tournament. The state tournament's just a different animal, you know. I understand it's the same size mat and the rules are the same, but this is a different animal. One of the things Grand Island does have going for itself is their young guys, and they are a very young team, have wrestled on the national level and on a very, very big stage for most of their lives. So that's where Grand Island, as far as that goes, should be okay. Like right now, for instance, down on mat two, Blake Fruchtel's wrestling for Grand Island. You know, he's 38-1 coming into the tournament. He's a freshman, but this kid has been all over the United States wrestling his entire life. Comes from a very, very good wrestling family. Tough, hard-nosed family. What it depends on is these freshmen, a kid like Blake, how can he handle this atmosphere?
Larry, you also mentioned something for a novice like me that comes down here. When you look at the records and they're paired up, obviously you know that a champion at a district gets a four seed in another district. But when you get a four seed from a Northeast Nebraska bracket, the record may not be indicative of how good or poor the kid is.
Yeah, without question. So many times as you go here, you know, you feel really strong about, okay, this kid was a fourth in a district, and this kid was a district champion. But so many times it depends on the district in and of itself. And without question, you know, you'll see a kid, say, up in Northeast Nebraska, and he's got 13 or 14 losses. Well, he's probably wrestled not only some great kids in Nebraska, but kids in Dakota. And, in some out-of-state competition, and wrestling in Dakota is very, very good. So without question, you know, you can get in certain parts of the state where it is very, very competitive. So sometimes it's a little misleading that somebody would say a district runner-up versus a district champion or so on.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, I think somebody like me has been here for the first time comes in and goes, well, he probably advanced that. And you go, well, wait a minute, the 20 and 12 was a darn good 20 and 12, or the 30 and 4 was really not all that impressive.
A great example of that was, I'm going to say 2-3 years ago, I had a kid, Trevor Ritz was his name, tremendous athlete, but we were up in that D2 district, in that Northeast Nebraska district that year, and in fact, just in the way it worked out, the semifinals at the district tournament were the exact same Class D semifinals at the state tournament the next week. So, I mean, a tremendous tough tournament, but Trevor is a state runner-up that year, gets second at state, but gets beat in the semis,
in the district tournament, and he's down like 11-3 with about a minute left in the heartbreak round to even go to the state tournament. Comes back, pins the kid, and then the next week is a state runner-up. And the young man from Howells that he beat, Sofel, was, I mean, literally he was, I'm going to say, top three or four kid in the entire state.
And he's at home.
Doesn't even qualify.
Now, that's interesting. You hope that doesn't happen too often because
right.
you want the best kids to wrestle down here in this environment. Larry, anything else the fans should look out for? I guess in Class C, is there a team out there? We haven't touched on Class C. Is anybody heads and shoulders above?
I tell you, I like Central City. You know, they dropped from B. I think they'd have won Class C last year had they dropped. Coach Garfield's got a great group of kids. He really runs a good, energetic program, and I really think Central City's probably the best team in Class C. And there's some good local teams. You know, Wood River brought a bunch of kids. They're going to get some medals, but I like Central City.
Larry Baker joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Larry, enjoy the rest of the day. Obviously, as a spectator, a little bit the nerves aren't there. I'm sure you're a little bit further away from the action, but still enjoying it probably about as much or more, just sitting back and watching it. So thanks so much. Enjoy the next couple of days here at the Quest Center. Derek, is everything ship-shaped back there?
Yeah, everything looks good. I think we can get out of here.
All right, well, we look forward to joining you again tomorrow live from the Quest Center here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Obviously, want to thank Larry Baker along with Stu Pospisil from the Omaha World Herald for getting their thoughts. And remember, classes B and C do not start until 4:30 this afternoon. So when you're not hearing those kids, it's nobody's ignoring them. They have not even showed up at the facility. They do not go till 4:30. So calm down. All that action is tonight. There's probably going to be roughly a 3.5-hour break here this afternoon. And we look forward to reporting all afternoon on Power 99 and on ESPN. Doug Doodle will have reports for you. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN Radio, 1460 and 1550.
Been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.